Good morning to each of you. We greet you on this warm summer day in what is called the Christian ordinary season, the season after Pentecost. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 139, and for those of you who wish to follow along in our scripture reading later, that will be Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. So we join in our call to worship. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and acquainted with all my ways. Where can I go then from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Search me, O God, and know my eyes. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness, verses 1 and 3. Jones of the Presbyterian Church of Teaneck will lead us in our scripture reading this morning, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25.
Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Here's Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. A letter from Paul, Life in the Spirit. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. But in this hope, we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So here is the reading of the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I want to share just a few thoughts with you this morning. It was brought to my attention that I did not give a sermon topic. So I responded to that person, and maybe that was my way of trying to take a break for this Sunday. I don't know. But anyway, let me share with you a few thoughts under the theme, the main ingredient. The main ingredient. I don't know if any of you have ever read the obituaries. My guess is that the older you are, the more likely you are to let your eyes drift over to that section of the newspaper. As the comedian would say, just to make sure that your name is not printed there. Of course, some of our younger members are asking, what's a newspaper? An interesting obituary appeared in the Chattanooga Timely Free Press recently. This was December of 2019. And in my estimation, this was good for a chuckle or two. It was for a Kate McDonald. She was 80 years old. The obituary contained all kinds of praise for her virtues as a human being, but as you read down the page, you were exposed to some of her eccentricities as well. One paragraph reads like this. It says, she was preceded in death by the father of their four children, Charles Allen McDonald, whom she loved to her dying day, and her beloved family pets, Simon, the Siamese cat, Peanut, the wiener dog, Sugar, the howling dog, Daisy, the very special, extremely important stray dog, and most notably, Jack, her darling mutt, who lost his tail in an unfortunate accident, whereupon mom saved the tail in the freezer, just in case. And then in words, the words appear after that, go figure. Later in the obituary, we read, she left behind a load of stuff her family doesn't know what to do with. And then there's a list of these miscellaneous items. And then this notice says, anyone interested in having these items, please wait the appropriate amount of time to reach out. Tomorrow should be fine. After listing her church where friends would be received and a service would be held, there was this final notice. All this is in one obituary now. Finally, the family asked that in lieu of flowers, please write your congressman and ask for the repeal of daylight savings time. We think Mom would like it if we were all on the Lord's time. Think about that for a minute. I don't know about repealing daylight savings time, but I found it to be quite a refreshing approach to the death of a loved one who was elderly and had a good life and a strong faith, who loved her family, her pets, and her God. That's the way a Christian's death should be greeted. There should be, maybe not with those words or in that same kind of order, but there should be a celebration of life, a life that is well lived, and an anticipation of a life now lived in the presence of a loving God. That brings us to our topic for today. The topic for the day, the main ingredient, that main ingredient is hope. Christian hope. Years ago, in his book, Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude, business writer Napoleon Hill told about a successful cosmetic manufacturer. Probably it was Charles Revson, the founder of the Revlon Cosmetic Company, who decided he would retire at the age of 65. Deborah Neal, would you please put your computer on mute? Go to the bottom left of your screen. If not, our co-host will take care of that for you. So Jeremy, if you would mute Deborah Neal. But again, after Charles Revson, the founder of Revlon Cosmetic Company, decided he was going to retire at the age of 65. Each year thereafter, his friends and former business associates gave him a birthday party and tried to find out the secret of his success. In other words, the secret for his special cosmetic formula. But year after year, he refused, good-naturedly, of course, but he would not reveal his secret. Maybe I will tell you next year, he would say. This went on for 10 years until the businessman celebrated his 75th birthday. As usual, his associates begged him to share the secret formula with them so that they could continue the business after his death. And finally, he yielded to their insistence. In addition to the things which I use, which are commonly known, he said, there is one secret ingredient that I package with every bottle. By this time, everyone at the party was listening with rapt anticipation and attention. What is it? What is it? An anxious friend inquired, please don't keep us in suspense any longer. Revson replied, I never told a woman that my product would make her beautiful, but I always gave her hope. Hope, he said, it's the magic ingredient. The magic ingredient, or the main ingredient, if you will. Well, hope is the main ingredient, whether in life or in death, whether in good times or in times of sorrow. The main ingredient is the assurance that regardless of how challenging today is, God is in charge. And that, as Paul says in Romans 8:28, all things work to the good for those who love the Lord. That's hope. In today's lesson, which is devoted to hope, the Apostle Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Think about that for a moment. This is the hope that all of us should have. This is what hope is all about. It's the realization that the present times may not be perfect. In fact, they may be heart-wrenching, but it is when we trust in God that we believe that better days lie ahead. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Paul knew that none of us can get through life without wrestling at some time or another with some daunting challenges. I don't know of anyone who's never encountered a roadblock or a bump in the road or a challenge somewhere in their life. And if you haven't, just keep living. It will come. You see, that's the reality of living. At times, all of us will face some kind of difficulty, whether it's large or small. That's just life. During the Vietnam War, Admiral James Stockdale was the highest ranking U.S. officer taken as a prisoner by the Vietnamese. For 8 years, James Stockdale was held hostage under horrific conditions in a POW camp, where he was tortured regularly. But he didn't give up, and he didn't give in. In fact, he was a remarkable inspiration to his fellow soldiers. Jim Collins wrote about the time he spent with Stockdale in a book entitled Good to Great. Collins writes, "What separates people, Stockdale taught me, is not the presence or absence of difficulty, but how they deal with the inevitable difficulties of life." Stockdale believed, you see, that if you retain faith, that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties. He believed that if you have faith, even if at the same time you confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever that might be, you will be victorious. Stockdale's convictions are not based upon blind optimism. He said he was asked about prisoners who did not survive. And when he was asked about prisoners who did not survive that POW camp, he replied, "Oh, that's easy. These were the optimists. They were the ones who said, we're going to be out by Christmas. And then Christmas would come and Christmas would go. And then they say, well, we'll be out by Easter. Then Easter would come and Easter would go. Then they say, well, we'll be out by Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving would come and Thanksgiving would go. And then Christmas again." And Stockdale kept describing, he said, "One by one, they died of a broken heart." You see, they were just grabbing on to a belief without any basis or foundation. James Stockdale did not die of a broken heart. In fact, in 1992, after the war, he was Ross Perot's running mate in the race for president of the United States. But notice Stockdale's emphasis. Hope is not the same as blind optimism. Hope is not the simple belief that somehow everything is just going to work out some way fine. You see, without God, nothing is certain to work out fine. Hope is not frivolous, but it's persistent. A good example of such persistence in the face of adverse circumstances is the early Christian community. They faced horrific circumstances at times. Persecution, the lion's den, imprisonment, just for believing in Christ. Yet, they never gave up to doubt and fear. That's why we are able to worship today, because they did not give in. They were certain that God was with them and that God would see them through. They embodied Paul's words. Their present sufferings were not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. How else could they have kept going if they did not have hope? Now, I don't speak Italian, but my understanding is that there is an Italian name, a surname, and it's Sperandio, that's what it is, Sperandio. And that name, Sperandio, means my hope is in God. Where else is such hope to be found? Do you know of any other place that hope can be found other than in God? Can it be found in government? Well, we've seen that that doesn't work. Can it be found in education? Good, but not necessarily true. Can it be found in science? Not always. None of these can reach where your hurt is. None of these, government, education, science, can reach that place where you need to be reached in your most dark times. Only faith is God's promise that he will be there. Faith is God's promise that he can do that. It's like a story that a Lutheran pastor named Reuben Youngdahl tells. It's about a young man he met while visiting in Dublin, Ireland one summer. Youngdahl noticed that this young man had on his desk in his study a plaque with just two words on it. And the two words were, "But God." Pastor Youngdahl was so impressed by this plaque that he had one made up just like it for his own desk. Visitors to his office would ask, "What do you mean by those two words, but God?" He explained that in his hour of deepest need, he had learned to say, "But God will help." In a moment of utter despair, he could say, "But God will give hope." In a moment of loneliness, he could say, "But God is with me." When he felt significant and unwanted, it would help him to repeat, "But God loves me." That always turned the scale from despair to hope, from defeat to victory, from sin to salvation, he reported. "But God, but God, but God." You see, that's much more than a blind optimism. That's everything that a blind optimist, everything is simply going to work out all right. That's trusting in God. That hope is more than just that blind optimism. It's a solid and sound faith that recognizes that life can often be hard, sometimes brutally hard. But if we maintain our faith, and if we will persist and not give up, God will come through and God will be there for us. As long as there's hope, Christian hope, life is worth living. The late Emil Brunner once said, "What oxygen is for the lungs, such is hope for the meaning of human life." And he was right. Really, a hope-filled life is the only life worth living. Let me say that again. A hope-filled life is the only life worth living. So often people choose to live by another mindset, though, the mindset of worry and fear. But someone once said, "Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles." Now, some would say that there are indeed reasons to worry, but those reasons are obvious. For example, you have reason to worry if you wake up face down on the pavement. You have reason to worry if you call the suicide prevention hotline and they put you on hold. You have reason to worry if your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. You have reason to worry if your twin forgets what day you were born on. You have reason to worry if the bird singing outside your window is a buzzard. You have reason to worry. All of us have reason to worry if our income tax refund check bounces. And you know that a man wrote this list because he said, you have reason to worry. If your wife says, good morning, Bill, and your name is George. Yes, there are indeed reasons to worry. J. Arthur Rank, an English executive, decided to do all his worry on one day of each week. He chose Wednesdays. When anything happened that gave him anxiety and annoyed his ulcer, he would write it down and put it in his worry box and forget about it until the next Wednesday. The interesting thing was that on the following Wednesday, when he opened his worry box, he found that most of the things that he had disturbed him in the past 6 days were already settled. It was then useless for him to worry about them. Why worry when you can trust? Charles Swindoll said so well. Worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. What does your anxiety do? It does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it does empty today of its strength. It does not make you escape the evil, but it makes you unfit to cope with it when it comes. In the normal span of life, our focus should be, how do I learn to trust God enough that, one, I can turn my fears, my worries, my anxieties over to Him and leave it there? How do I learn to trust God enough that, two, I can rest on the assurance that God is in charge? That's where hope comes from. Hope comes from operating from a foundation of trust in God, and it means that we begin to experience peace, like scripture describes, a peace that passes all understanding. Russell Okung, a big, tough, former professional football player, was describing the main ingredient in his life, hope, Christian hope. And he said, the belief that we may go through some rough time that we may not understand. But if we trust God and persist in our faith in Him, He will always come through. Why? Because we are not alone. Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Do you believe that? Do you have that kind of confidence in God? It truly is the main ingredient that makes life worth living and takes life to a whole new level. Let your main ingredient today, tomorrow, and always be hope and trust in God. Amen. We ask at this time that our elders will share their joys and concerns. We start with our sister from United Presbyterian Church, Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan. Okay, we may have some technical.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing
well. That's good.
I have no individual joys or concerns this morning. However, I would like to ask for prayers for United Presbyterian Church as we make plans for returning to the building sometime in the near future. So please keep us in your prayers. And that will be all.
All right. Thank you so much. The elders from Presbyterian Church of Teaneck, I'm not going to call you by name, but just ask if you have joys or concerns to share, that you just unmute and share those. So as you feel, as you need to. So are there any joys and concerns from our elders at Presbyterian Church of Teaneck.
This is Elder Fredericks. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say I'm on the phone today, but I didn't hear back about Dr. Cheney, so we continue to keep him in prayer that he recovers from his tenuous situation in the hospital. And no other concerns at this time. Thank you very much, Pastor. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. So we continue to pray for Dr. Arthur Cheney. Are there any other concerns?
Good morning, Pastor. This is Melvin England.
Good morning.
I would like to say that we do not have any direct concerns from our care group, but I would like to personally thank everyone who has participated in our online auction. The auction will end tonight, 11 hours from tonight. So all still have a chance to log in, create a bidder account, and look at some of the good items on the auction to support our church and our mission. So I thank everyone who has done that thus far. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other joys and concerns?
Yes, good morning. This is Ed Miller.
Good morning.
Not really anything specific, but there was a theme that was going on when I was talking to different people. And I imagine it's beyond the care group, but probably throughout different people that are on the streaming session this morning. And that is, there are people that are going through medical testing, some COVID related, others in preparation of other medical procedures. And then also, I want to do a special prayer for my wife's uncle, Blagro Skinner, who's in London, who is in his 90s and is facing various challenges right now. Thank you.
All right, for Judith Miller's uncle, Mr. Skinner. Are there other concerns? We do bring to your attention the fact that Gloria Jenkins was in the Hackensack Hospital. She thought she would be coming out Friday. She may still be in there. We're not quite sure, but she was in good spirits and doing well, but had to have some procedures done. And so we will keep Gloria Jenkins lifted up in prayer. Her daughter reported that she was looking well and just feeling much better than she's felt before. We also would keep in our prayers this morning our director, Heather Bennett's mother, Mrs. Mary Bennett, in Dallas, Texas, as she deals with issues. She entered the hospital yesterday, so we keep Mrs. Bennett in our prayers this morning. And also we would offer prayers of thanksgiving for the work of and the leadership of Senator John Lewis, who just passed recently. And we think about the legacy that he has left and the work that he has done, and hope that those who remember him will also remember the hard work that he put in and commit themselves to continue his work. Let us then, as the people of God, join together in a time of prayer. O God, you are God of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, and all of their descendants. Mighty God, you have spoken through your prophets, your priests have taught your people how to worship your name. So we come as descendants of those traditions. We remember the wisdom of scribes that delivered your word. With poetry, writers have penned praise in your honor. Nations have been brought into submission in face of your judgment. History has recorded testimony of your mercy that has withstood the ages. We come as a result, of all those who have come before. We recognize the witness and the work and the legacy of so many before us who have walked in your path. And Lord, as we come this morning, we ask, what are we in comparison to the grandeur and grace, not only of those that you have endowed, but in comparison to you, our Creator. Yet in love, you sent us your Son, Jesus Christ. He walked among your people and taught them your will. He enlightened his followers to the sense of your commandments. He stooped to hear the plight of the stranger and cast out demons from those who were oppressed. He suffered the shame of the cross for the sins of all your people, and even now pulls us from the pit of our own disgrace and our own sin and our own shame, and reminds us that the grave cannot contain your righteousness and your deliverance. He lives as our mediator and our God. So, Lord, we come this morning. We give you thanks for your providence. We give you thanks for your presence. We give you thanks for your wisdom. It sheds light on the sufferings that we endure in our time. We give thanks that you surround us with hope as we seek to be faithful. You give us a glimpse of your glory as we groan sometimes in despair. We give you thanks, Lord, for not only what you have done, but what you will do, what we believe you will do. We give thanks for the prayers you will answer, for the healing you will provide, for the comfort you will bring. Make us mindful of all who are part of the household of God, whether near or far, whether known to us personally or not. We are mindful of our brothers and sisters in our communities, in our church, in our household, and in our world. Lord, we pray that the legacy that you have given us through Christ and through those who have preceded us be a source of inspiration and a source of confidence as we walk throughout this day and throughout the rest of our time. Lord, thank you for your presence. In you, we place our hope and our trust and our strength. Even as we pray in the manner in which we have been taught to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In our Presbyterian hymnals, there is a hymn that says, If thou but trust in God to guide you. We're going to use that hymn, but we're going to use the contemporary words. If you but trust in God to guide you and place your confidence in him, you'll find him always there beside you to give you hope and strength within. For those who trust God's changeless love, build on the rock that will not move. If you but trust in God. Thank you.
Him always there beside you to give and strength within for those who trust God's changeless mind. Build on the rock that cannot move. Only be still and wait his pleasure in cheerful with heart content. He fills your needs to fullest measure with what discerning love has sent. Doubt not all emotions are known to him who chose us from his own. Sing, pray, and keep his ways unswerving. Offer your service faithfully. And trust his word, though undeserving. You'll find his promise true to be. God never will forsake in me. The soul that trusts in him indeed.
Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, may they comfort your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and word today and in the days to come. Let the people of God say, Amen. Opportunity to unmute at this time if you want to share a word of greeting and a word of fellowship. You may place your telephones on unmute by hitting District 6. And those of you online, if you go to the bottom of the screen on your left-hand side, you can unmute.
Amen.
Greetings, Marion Whited.
I pause the tape. Art Chaney's in the nursing home in Paramus.
Okay, so that's an update for Art yes. Chaney, who is in a nursing home in Paramus.
Yes.
Okay. Are there others who wish to share a greeting or just say hello this morning?
Just hello, this is Menon, and remind everyone it's National Ice Cream Day, so have a nice cool treat.
And did you say National Ice Cream Day?
She did, yes.
Yep. Okay.
And sugar-free ice cream is out there too, so we don't have to worry about our waistline.
Okay, sugar-free ice cream. I have that in the freezer. That's not too good. Anyway. I need Dairy Queen. I need Dairy Queen. What can I say?
I hear you.
I need Bischoff's.
Has the Tiger Blue Bunny sugar-free ice cream.
Okay. All right.
All right.
It's pretty good.
So, let's see. We're gonna unmute and say hello to Ethel Brown. I see that she's on. Rebecca Small is handling. Ethel Brown, I'm trying to get to your.
There you are. Oh.
Good morning to you.
Morning. Thanks. Very nice.
Yes, we saw you were on, so we wanted to have an opportunity to greet you.
Thank you. My cousin.
Good morning.
Hello, Mrs. Small. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning to you.
Good morning. You're looking well, Mrs. Brown. Stay cool in all this heat.
Thank you. 92 degrees here.
92. Okay, we got 96, so we're a little hot.
Well, you're hotter. I didn't think that.
Okay, and we see Laureline Gillespie is on. Greetings to you. Is Priscilla Hamilton on? Has anybody talked to Priscilla Hamilton?
Yes, she's right here, right here. Good morning, and thank you.
I was thinking about you. I wanted to call you, but I kept falling asleep.
Yeah, I understand.
But I've been thinking about
you,
and how are things
you.
Going?
Thank you. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Good morning, Ethel.
How you doing?
Everything is good so far.
Okay, good.
Good morning, church family. Lurleen and Juan from Atlanta.
Yep.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Betty Easley from Florida, Lakewood Ranch.
Betty Easley. Good morning. And Mr. Page, I think I heard Mr. Elder Elijah Page, I heard you. And so we wish you all well this day and just ask that you be careful because it is going to be extremely warm for the next two or three days.
Yes.
So if you try to go by Dairy Queen, which is right down the street from us, just be prepared because you have to stand in line and that might be a little bit taxing. Anyhow.
What if the young cats you across the street? You're going to be in trouble.
I know. I wanted to tell you that I came and tested it out one day, and I saw the line, and I got discouraged. So that was the only thing that kept me on my diet.
Just cross the street with your mask, and you'll cool off till the line goes down.
Okay. Okay, so knock on the young's door if you need to go to Dairy Queen.
All right.
England.
Hey, how's everyone?
Okay.
Good.
Okay, Saints, so I'm going to leave you now. And so again, may God be with each of you. And we look forward to talking with you or seeing you within the next week.
Okay, have a blessed day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, take care now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know me too well.
faithful God.
Okay.
Never fails.
So,
just a minute.